Thank you, Willie. That was good to hear. It's been a pleasure to work with Willie on the missions committee so far, and we're looking forward to continuing to work with him there after the elections Friday evening. Brother Kenny has asked that we take our Bibles and read from Romans chapter 15, verses 22 to 33. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again here this evening on such a rainy, dreary day. It's good to see each one here. And we look forward to hearing from Brother Kenny again this evening. Romans chapter 15, verses 22 to 33. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let's kneel for prayer.
The title of the message this evening is Ministering in the Fullness of Blessing. Due to switching appointments, the chronological order of passages for the expository sermons in Romans has been slightly altered. Tonight, we plan to look at Romans 15, verses 22 to 33, the scripture that Dustin read in the opening. It really doesn't alter the flow since the topics do not overlap, and one topic does not build upon the other. Glenn, did a great job this morning of highlighting some of the key verses from the book of Romans and pulling out encouraging thoughts from the greetings and exhortations in chapter 16. So in a sense, we're going backwards, but not really. Romans is an epistle chock full of doctrine and principles for Christian living. And Paul switches gears toward the end of his letter here in chapter 15 and details his calendar for the future, his traveling plans. And tucked away in these plans are nuggets of gold to be mined for our benefit, practical applications that have merit even 20 centuries later. I have chosen to divide this portion of Scripture into three parts and use a key word from each set of verses for my outline. Each word begins with the letter D and summarizes Paul's theme in those particular verses. And so the first point of the outline is desire. We like to look at verses 22 through 24. And in verse 23, but now having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. Because of God's divine plan and purposes, Paul was prevented for many years in coming to Rome. And God did not explain to Paul his reasoning. for not allowing to minister where his heart desires. But he knew, Paul knew in his heart, that it was from God and accepted it as such. Paul valued relationships. Once established, he maintained those relationships. He walked, he sailed, he wrote, and he wrote letters. He did not have the advantage of the technology and the transportation we have today. He endured much for those he loved in the churches spread over Asia Minor. And in his travels, he visited at least 50 cities where there were Christians and believers assembled. Listen to what he wrote about his job description. "But in all these things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making rich, many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things." That is quite a job description from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And his desire here in Romans 15, as he details in verses 22 and 24, was to come and to see. And that means in person. Paul had a great desire for a face-to-face fellowship. You know, we live in the age of electronics, digital communication, and these tools are very helpful. They can be used for God's glory, but they're no substitute for face-to-face communication and building close relationships. Paul had other obligations, yet his desire was to be filled with the company of those whom he loved at Rome. How great is our desire for the kingdom work God has given each of us? C.S. Lewis made this statement, quote, "Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what it is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." Unquote. A vertical relationship and horizontal relationships are what life is all about. Paul knew that. The two great commandments on which hangs all the others are that we love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor as ourself. Paul invested his life both in the vertical and the horizontal relationships. It was his fervent, overwhelming desire. Paul's desire was in the right place. From the book, The Confessions of St. Augustine, we read, quote, "Sin comes when we take a perfectly natural desire or longing or ambition and try desperately to fulfill it without God. Not only is it sin, it is a perverse distortion of the image of the Creator in us. All these good things and all our security are rightly found only and completely in Him, unquote. Let's consider point two in the outline using the word debtors. And the word debtors is used in verse 27, and this is a theme of verses 25 through 29. It hath pleased them verily, or truly, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Not only was Paul sensitive to the Spirit's direction in planning his calendar, he also played a part in delivering a contribution to the poor in Jerusalem. The saints in Macedonia and Achaia were truly pleased to participate in this ministry. You know, a debtor owes something. In this case, it was not money that was owed, but the debt crossed the line from the spiritual to the physical realm. And this is a principle here explained by Paul. The Gentiles were privileged to share in the Jews' spiritual blessings. Gentiles are grafted in. Therefore, they are debtors. They owed it to the Jews to share with them of their material blessings. If someone blesses you spiritually, and the only way you can thank him is with material things, then that's certainly proper. Paul is, in a sense, opening for us heaven's ledger and showing that God's math is often very different than what we do when we add up the columns. That's God's program, to give back in material things for the spiritual blessings we have received, and vice versa. We are all debtors, every one of us. Paul said in Romans 1:14, I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Mentioned this in the beginning of his letter, and as an application, others have invested in our lives. We are where we are today because many people invested time and energy and finances and prayer and study, instruction and training, and we could go on. We're all debtors. And so let's go forward with that accounting system in mind and practice it. That is, investing in the life of others, or the lives that God brings into our life. One time on our way to White Oak, there was a revival service going on, and we planned to visit that night. We never did make it. And we ended up going a later night that very week. Our van overheated. This was back when we had most of our children at home. And we were on Chickies Hill on 441 above Columbia. And the steam just started rolling out of the front of the van. So we pulled over the side of the road, kind of helpless. away from any service station or any way to get help. And I do believe that was the time before I owned a cell phone. But a car stopped on the opposite side of the road. A man who had tools came across. He checked out the situation and fixed the problem. There was a ruptured radiator hose that he cut, reattached, but we needed water to refill the cooling system, so he took me along back to his house in Wrightsville, and we brought back a number of gallons of water and milk jugs. And after he filled up that radiator, I offered to reimburse him for his time and effort, because he did go out of his way. But you know what he told me? I'm not going to take anything, but I will ask that you pass along the kindness and you help someone else in need when you have opportunity sometime. We're all debtors. And if we have received spiritual blessings, and we have spiritual blessings untold in our country, that makes us debtors to those who are struggling, to those who are in pain, to those who are persecuted for Christ's sake, for those who are poor. Just like those from Macedonia and Achaia, and Paul himself, we can do what God places on our plate. As soon as Paul finished his task of delivering the contribution, he made plans to come, and I like the way he states this, in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ, in the fullness of the blessing. You know, only loving service produces fullness of blessing in the gospel of Christ. Living for self is one of the most empty lives one can live. Living for Christ and others fills life up. And Paul was living the fullness of the blessing because he was serving others. Let's consider the third part of the outline with the word delivered. And this section is from verses 30 to 33. And the word delivered is found in verse 31. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may be with you, and with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. What was behind this mighty apostle's ministry? Why has it sown seeds that lasted for 2,000 years? Most of the New Testament letters written by Paul, we're benefiting today. What was it that opened the doors and gave him access into Caesar's household and before the throne of the emperor himself? Notice what Paul requested of them. Pray for protection and deliverance from the unbelievers and for acceptance from the saints. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is essential. You know, it can protect someone in danger. When Paul was in Jerusalem, we learn from Acts 21, there came a moment when he was attacked by a mob. They were out to kill him. They meant business. But just at the critical moment, a commander of the Roman legion rescued him with a band of soldiers. Prayer was answered. Paul was protected from the unbelievers. And we're not always guaranteed deliverance in every case, but prayer aids in protection. And one thing we can bank on, we are invincible. Each of us are invincible until our life purpose has been fulfilled. God has a plan for each of us. There's no one going to stop that until God says, this is your time. Paul was also formerly a persecutor of the saints in Jerusalem. And he knew that there would be a natural resistance to him coming back, proclaiming the Christ he once worked against in the lives of believers. So he requested prayer. That was no minor thing for Paul to go back to Jerusalem. Paul's account here is certainly a reminder to us that we as believers and we as a body are in a battle. And it's going to intensify. And we need prayer support for each other. Paul's command in Ephesians 6:18, I know personally works. I have felt it. I have felt the power. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm thankful for the prayer warriors in our congregation. I visited a number of months ago with an elderly sister who's ready to go on to glory. And she doesn't really understand why she's still here. But earlier in that conversation, she was saying how she has this prayer list. And she prays for me daily. She guaranteed me of that. And she prays for others in the congregation. She goes down this list. She prays for her family. And I said, sister, that's why you're here. And she was encouraged by that comment. There was a purpose that God had for her yet. And that purpose was not yet finished. We cannot take a time out, brothers and sisters. We cannot let down our guard. Faithfulness to the cause of Christ is what God has called us to do. And it cannot be a mechanical process. We cannot just play church. The power of God must be realized among us. And I'm thankful when I sense that in a mighty way. We had a council meeting Friday night. But there was moments in that council meeting where I just sensed God was moving. He was here. Paul wanted so much the joy and the refreshment of fellowship, of relationship in the body of Christ. Are we willing to work toward that end?
Let's all stand for closing prayer.